Here we are. It's been 2 years, and there's a lot that's happened, a ton of words, maybe sometimes too many words, not enough singing, maybe. There have been moments of silence, moments of disagreements, aha moments, tears and laughter, meetings, classes, and tons of coffee hours with good food. And I want to thank a lot of people for what they have done during this time, but if I start naming names, I'm going to leave somebody out, and then I'll have to apologize, and all that sounds too messy, so I just want to say thank you, just like that, okay, and leave it alone. You have all been my teachers, and I'd like to think that I have learned a lot and grown a lot, and I will take a lot of great memories with me into the future. I know I'm going to be asked about my immediate future, so instead of having a lot of those conversations, I'll just say that I'm going to take a month or a month and a half off as vacation. Some of you have asked, what church are you going to next? And I'll say to you, I don't know. I'm looking. I'm seeking. Keep praying. All I do know is that my 40th high school reunion is on the 11th of September. Interesting day, 9/11. And I didn't make that up. And that may be kind of scary, you know. Classmates you haven't seen for 40 years that you don't recognize, maybe an ex-girlfriend. Oh, sorry, TMI, too much information. She'll be there with her husband, okay? Yeah. So I'd like to now to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Listen for the word of the Lord to us as individuals and as a congregation. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. I know that there is nothing better for the workers than to be happy and to enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. This is one of my favorite texts in the Bible, part of the wisdom literature of the scriptures. What caught my attention this time was the truth that in God's providence, you and I were brought together for a time, for a particular kind of journey together. You had never before experienced that kind of journey, so it added a lot of electricity to it, a lot of juice, a lot of uncertainty. Plus, we were mixing denominational identities, theological viewpoints, language, styles of church government, and so we all went through a very steep learning curve. We experienced, I think, what it felt like at different points, birthing and dying. There was some combat, as well as some embracing, weeping and laughing, anxiety and enjoyment, some healing as well as further wounding, and I imagine some of us really wanted more silence rather than more words. Out of all that, it is true that you have come a very long way in your self-understanding. You have further to go, and I refer less to your search for your next minister and more to what kind of community you are becoming. That's the important thing. And how you will live into your true use in the world. That's the important thing. So now it's time for us to separate and go our own ways, and we will experience to a greater or lesser degree according to who we are, the grieving process. It is the season, to use Ecclesiastes' words, for that to happen. We must deal with loss before we can establish another relationship. But along with loss is also doing what is in front of us to do. An anticipation about what is next. I mean, nobody's really dying here. It is a separation. It's going of different ways. There is a sort of death. And yet, both of us have a lot of things to look forward to in the midst of what we're feeling right now. And I hope all of us enjoy whatever that is that we have to do. And I hope, as Ecclesiastes says, that we take pleasure in it. Why else do it? Knowing that the Lord is in our midst for good. We will be moving on with the Lord, whose very nature is dynamic rather than static. My prayer is that as we move into our next adventures, we will live into that last verse that I read to you. I know that there is nothing better for the workers than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. Life is too short to stay grumpy for long. And God is larger than we think.
The next reading comes from Isaiah, and Swedenborg's writings elucidate this in a very special way. This is the call to Isaiah, the call from God to serve him. Please bear in mind that a seraph is a visible manifestation of God's protection through divine providence. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me."
So my first question is, what the heck is a pivot? Anyway, this is my favorite call passage in the Bible because it portrays a magnificent vision, true, but mostly because it tells me that the Lord needs ordinary, average, imperfect people to get involved in the divine business, and that the Lord empowers us to hear his voice and to respond. So that means you, and it means me. It isn't always easy to discern what God is up to, But God is very creative, being the creator, and finds ways to break through the fog so that we can see and hear and understand, and then it's up to us to respond. Isaiah was so taken by this vision that and the new lightness of in his being that he experienced because of what the angel did for him, that he blurted out his willingness to jump in and go with whatever God had in mind. Which, of course, is a big deal because it involves a leap of faith that leaves us learning how to fly. But it's really the only way to go in light of the Lord's never-ending love for us and the Lord's trust in us. We get way too serious. Okay, I get way too serious about how we are going to make sure that church and faith and community survive and even thrive, especially during an interim time. I know none of you got that serious. That was a joke. And we find out that God's sending means that we don't go alone or without enough resources. And we find out that this is not our church. It belongs to the one who called it into being in the first place. And if you have to wake up every morning and say that to yourselves, do it. In every meeting, in every worship service, in every gathering. This is not our church. It is God's church, the one who called it into being. And we are invited, as Isaiah was invited, to co-create with God this beloved community in the image of the heavenly city rather than in our own image. Which means that we have to let go of the self-centeredness that blinds and deafens us to what God has in mind. Which takes time and patience and the willingness to sacrifice our own agendas, which are many. Because in the end, it's not about the I, it's about the us. So we're going to sing about it. It's the hymn in the insert called "Here I Am, Lord." And we're going to stand. Please.
I have heard my people cry. This reading is from the Gospel of Luke. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of the leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of the Lord.
You and I have been invited to a banquet, a feast, by a host who has absolutely no interest in who gets there firstest with the mostest. It's about making room for all who want in, not about who gets to tell others what to do because they happen to be, in their own eyes, more important. The Lord has no use for that sense of entitlement that is more interested in how cozy one is with the host than with warmly welcoming the newcomer. It is not about being seen. It is about showing up and making sure that everyone who comes has what they need of the abundance that is available to all. It is the Lord's banquet. All of us are the Lord's guests. And that makes us all very important, very special. And it also makes us very equal and very ordinary. That way we can all enjoy the feast to the utmost because we are paying attention to the right thing, our neighbor and his or her enjoyment of the feast.
So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are the ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Remember those who are being tortured as though you yourself were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God.
The reading from Corinthians is one of my favorites in the New Testament because it speaks to my felt experience when I was a brand new convert to Christianity. I felt as though I was being changed from the inside out. And as time went on and I struggled to hold on to the everything has become new part, because I became aware that there was more and more in me that needed renewing. It still remained my favorite because it spoke to the hope I had in the Lord's ability to regenerate me. A little too slowly for my taste, but it was happening. The baseline is a dual truth. In the Lord, we are made new, and we are given the privilege of sharing that newness with our world. The old has passed away, is passing away, will pass away, making room for the new self. It's an uneven process. We are complex beings who need a lot of work. And despite our incompleteness, or perhaps because of it, we are entrusted with sharing our convictions and our struggles with those who come across our path. That begins here. As you continue to build a strong community that understands that regeneration is a continuous process, the movement from unconscious incompetence to conscious competence is at work within you. So I urge you to continue to build one another up, to encourage one another, to heal wounds and build bridges. Hold one another accountable in love. Trust one another. Accept one another as you wish to be accepted. And the book of Hebrews is a strange book. Maybe that's because I love that book. I believe that we have been angels to one another. Strangers who developed a relationship of hospitality that allowed us to see one another's humanity and accept it and learn from it. We have done that in the presence of the Lord, of whom it is said, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" And now we are no longer strangers, but we are friends and companions in the Lord. And that friendship, that relationship, will continue despite our separated paths. We can pray for one another and wish the best for one another so that we are angels to one another from a distance. I'd like to end this part of the service with the reading that's written in your bulletin. Teilhard de Chardin, patient trust in ourselves and the slow work of God. It is not printed for you. It's too long to fit in the bulletin. But I want you to hear the words. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are all quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip the intermediate stages. We are impatient of being on the way to something unknown, something new, and yet it is the law of all progress that is made by passing through some stages of instability, and that it may take a very long time. And so I think it is with you. Your ideas mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on as though you could be today what time, that is, grace and circumstances acting on your own goodwill, will make you tomorrow. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. Give our Lord the benefit of believing that his hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. Above all, trust in the slow work of God, our loving vine dresser. Amen.